Hey everyone, welcome back to the realm. I'm Gina.
I'm Rich.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Rob.
And we are back with a weird weekly news episode for you. And so I hope you guys found some stories. Hopefully we don't have any duplicates. But if you have never listened before, we come blindly to this meeting here. Each armed with some stories that are weird, could be paranormal, just weird stuff happening around the world. It's the news that matters most. And so we kind of blind react to each other. We give each other the story and we blind react. So it's about usually like 25, 30 minute episodes. So it's short, sweet. We have a lot of fun with it. So we hope you enjoy it. Now, how do we decide who goes first? Well, we could just say Rich could go ahead and just go first because usually he always is the one that gets chosen. But
yes, true statement.
We use this handy dandy wheel of names. I'm going to share my screen and then we'll let the, I think Brian calls it something else, but.
Yeah, probably.
But it's called Wheel of Names. So that's what we're going to do. Let's see who wins. So you guys ready for the spin?
Let's do it.
Spinning. Oh, keep going. Oh, it landed on me again. I accidentally
hit
it.
That's what you get.
That's what I get for being petty. So whenever we were trying to like troubleshoot something prior to starting this recording, I accidentally hit the button and it spun and it was me. And I was like, doesn't count. So this is my karma. So let me stop sharing my screen here. Okay. So this is what I got for you guys. I came with two, but I'm going to go with the one that was most interesting. It is not paranormal, but it's something that took me down a little bit of a rabbit hole. So have you guys ever heard about... heard the rumor that like McDonald's food doesn't ever like break down. Like if you just leave a hamburger sitting out, it'll never break down. It'll never turn moldy. It'll just basically look the same. Have you ever heard that?
But that was Twinkies.
No. I thought it was Twinkies.
Well, I heard it about McDonald's before. So okay. I didn't hear that. So here's what happened. Set the scene, 2009. And there's some things going on in Iceland where they decide to shut down all of their McDonald's. I don't know how many there were in Iceland, but they shut them all down, mostly because there was an economic crisis apparently going on in Iceland at the time. And the cost of like importing these goods into the country was too much. And so they closed down their McDonald's. So in walks this guy. Who decides, and I'll post the link to all these stories and I'll make reference to them, but I'm just going to paraphrase this story. So this guy says, hey, look, I would like to, he had heard the rumor that McDonald's food just doesn't ever break down. It just stays the same, like mummified, right? So he decides he's going to go buy a hamburger and fries on the last day that this McDonald's is open in 2009. He puts it in a plastic bag and actually ends up forgetting about it. It wasn't until 2012 when he was packing up to move and he went in his garage and found this plastic bag with this McDonald's meal in it. And it looked like it had been undisturbed, like still looked like it had just been served to him. Like he could eat it right then and there. There was no mold. There was no nothing. The fries now look a little bit withered, but there's no mold, hasn't broken down, still
was the bun crusty and dried. Was it a crouton?
Not that I know of, because I don't think he opened up the plastic bag because he was so like this was like huge marble. So I think some of the researchers were saying, or some of the people were commenting saying, it was probably because it was like, you know, wasn't exposed to a lot of air, wasn't exposed to the elements. At least that's what McDonald's was saying. So McDonald's denies doing anything to their food that would cause it to not break down. So he finds this in 2012 and he decides to take it to this museum in Iceland and they take it on in their museum. and they put it in this glass box, and people came from all over, and they loved, this was like one of the things they would go see at the museum. So after a year, the museum decided, look, we don't really want to keep food here. We don't have the means to like just keep having this food and changing it around. So I think it got donated. There's some conflicting stories where I think it might have got donated back to the person who originally, or given back to the person who originally gave it, but it ended up in this hostel. And for those of you that don't know what a hostel is, it's like usually kind of like a
bed and breakfast type thing. But then they capture you and they torture you, right?
Yeah, that's the movie.
Yeah, that's the hostel. The only hostel
I know. It's just a cheap way to like sleep. So it's usually, sometimes you're even sharing rooms with people, but you know, definitely shared toilets and stuff. So it's a way like to travel cheap over in Europe. We do have some hostels here in the US, but that's not what we're talking about. So this hostel took it on and put it in this glass box and had it on display there. So again, people were coming from all over. And in 2019, so 10 years later, there's another news story done on it. And this hostel even had, like, I don't know what year it even started. It might have even started like in 2013, 2014, but there was a website that you could click on a link and literally just look at it. It just was a camera that was just on this burger and fries that was inside this glass box. As the story goes now, I don't know if it's still at the hostel because I can't find anything too recent. The link to the camera does not work. I was hoping that it was, but everywhere I went to try to find the link, it didn't work. The hostel does have a Facebook page, which I'll post it on there. And in the pictures, it does show like this burger and fries, but I'm going to just show this to you guys really quickly to see, just to give you, so those of you that are just like listening, not just, but those of you that are listening on audio, you can come over to Facebook to see the, or come over to YouTube to see this, or you can just click on the links. One second, let me get this pulled up. Here we go. So the only thing that really was weathered was the paper. The paper started to fade around the box. So here we go. I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see this. All right, you see it there?
It's white. Oh, yeah.
So the burger's in there somewhere, right? But, you know, there's, the box is starting to discolor. But the French fry, I mean, for at this point in 2019, it's already like 10 years old, right? So they have that. And so I don't know today if it's still in the hostel. But what it ended up taking me down this rabbit hole, which I found was the most hilarious thing, was that Burger King, at some point in like 2019, 2020, maybe I'm loosely quoting this year, they came out with an ad campaign because they had made a commitment to making their food as preservative-free as possible and as fresh as possible and take out as many harmful ingredients as they could. I mean, fast food's obviously not healthy for you, but they were trying to make it healthy, right? So healthier. So Burger King comes up with this ad where they have a moldy, they show how their hamburger molds, like, you know, over a series of days, saying, you know, we use fresh ingredients here, basically trying to diss McDonald's, you know, and show them up. So I'm going to show you guys a picture of this moldy Burger King. So they had this ad campaign because they wanted to show like no artificial preservatives in their moldy Whopper.
And they campaign. Thought this was a good idea.
Yeah,
this
I never want to eat Burger King again.
I don't think I will ever eat there again.
They were showing that, like, you know, no preservatives, no nothing going on. But it wasn't the first time that Burger King kind of like tried to do the exact opposite of McDonald's and kind of, you know, throw shade at them. Apparently, so I just have to tell this one last story. At some point in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, I don't remember this. Maybe you guys do. I have no idea, but McDonald's has Happy Meals and Burger King came out with Sad Meals. and it says, order the way you feel. And what they did was they had partnered with somebody for mental health awareness because they were trying to bring more mental health. And the slogan was basically, you know, not everybody's happy all the time and that's okay. And so there was like a choice of 5 boxes that they could choose from to get their meal served in based on like if they wanted to order how they feel. So instead of have it your way, it was like have it the way you feel or something like that. And so instead of happy meals, they were calling it sad meals.
Emo meals.
So sad meals. But do you guys remember that at all?
No, not even a little.
I was going to say, was that only at one Burger King in like South Dakota? Because I have no idea,
but I'm going to put all the links to this story because I really went down a rabbit hole with this. And there's like, and sure. Then it went into wars between different like fast food companies and all the things they've done over the years. Like, I guess Burger King also took like, what's the big burger at McDonald's called?
Big Mac.
Yeah.
So they took their Whopper and they put it in front of the Big Mac and you couldn't see the Big Mac anymore. So they did that for one of their advertisements.
I remember that. I think I remember seeing that one.
Yeah. So it was like watching a soap opera between fast food restaurants. So,
but I have a story that's similar to that. Back in college in the 90s, my roommate, you know, when you get, you go in those gumball machines and you get those little plastic things that you open up and like things or something's in there. He put a chicken nugget in it and he stuck it in our freezer. But I moved in. He had been there for a while. It was in there for a couple of years. The thing in the freezer in that little ball turned black.
Oh, my gosh.
Completely turned black.
Interesting.
And then I ate it. No, I didn't eat it. But
I was like, oh my gosh.
Jenny's going to lose it.
I know you did not eat that.
Black.
I know you did not.
We just left it in there. That was it.
And somebody was grossed out by it when they moved in next.
Oh, I'm sure there was much more than that to be grossed out by. But anyways, that's it. That's my little story.
I don't know. So think what you want, but it just makes me not want to eat Burger King. I mean, McDonald's anymore. And I was telling Kez the story today and they're like, man, makes me not want to eat McDonald's, but their burgers are just so good. So
that's what they want you to think.
I like the Impossible Whoppers at Burger King. So
I tried it one time. It was good. It was all right.
I like McDonald's French fries.
Yes.
Yeah. Burger Kings are better.
That's a big war. Wendy, I remember Wendy's getting fries. Like, what'd you say, Brian?
Wendy's fries.
So Wendy's fries are good to dip in the chocolate frosties. Those are amazing.
Vanilla frosty.
You guys chocolate are just frosty. Talking crazy talk now. Fries.
No, wait, fries in the frosty?
Oh, it's delicious. It's a salty, sweet mix. It's so good.
That sounds like a rock band. Fries in my frosty.
All right, so we can move on. I'll go to the next wheel of names. So I know that was like, I mean, it was just weird. I just thought it was kind of weird that there's like a burger out there that's like at this point, you know what, 15 plus years old,
right?
And it's still looking grand.
It looked gross.
So that's why you're vegan.
I would say definitely look like I had some miles on it.
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, Brian, I added your name to the list here.
Ooh.
So.
Hey, everybody, I'm late like always.
It's all right, you're here. You're
hey,
here.
I'm always. Oh.
We were late getting on because I was having microphone problems. So, all right, here we go.
Rich is still waiting at the Luxor Buffet for me, so. That's a little throwback. That's an insight.
A little glitchy.
Nobody else knows.
Oh, who's it going to be?
What happens?
Oh, Brian.
Yay.
That's what you get for being
Yay.
I said, you're still at the Luxor Buffet waiting for me, Rich.
Yeah.
Yep.
Were you late to dinner?
Not my fault, but that's a whole nother thing.
Oh,
but,
no, I remember that. I remember that day.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. No, it's a doozy.
The sea was angry that day. The story has no embellishment because it needs none.
Yeah, I was just paraphrasing. So,
all right. So let's see. What do I, man? I always like to give a couple of choices. Okay, so we can go buried ordnance.
Hmm.
We can go library cop.
Ooh. Yeah.
Or we can go something in Scotland.
Don't use that one.
Scotland. Yeah, don't use that one.
Don't use that one. Scotland to blackball us. I'll be
No, because someone else might have one from Scotland.
Yeah, somebody else might have one in Scotland.
I vote for library cop. I don't know about you guys.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can bite on that one. Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay. So this story comes to us from Colorado.
Oh,
not Florida.
An overdue library book was returned after 105 years.
Stop it.
105.
That fine must have been crazy.
Was it Amnesty Month?
They sent the library cop out from Seinfeld, the actual actor. They looked him up. No, I'm just kidding. But that'd be really funny if they did that.
It would be funny. I think he's dead.
They sent that guy to the people's house, you know, and they just really leaned into it. But this says a Colorado library says a book was returned after 105 years being overdue. Podry Libraries announced on its website that a copy of Ivanhoe by Sir Walter Scott had been due back at the Fort Collins Public Library and Free Reading Room on February 13th, 1919. The book was returned to the library system by a woman who reported that her brother had found it amongst their thieving mother's belongings. I added thieving.
I was going to say, nice of them to put that in there.
Clearly she didn't know how to return library books. The library system said that the book would have accrued about $760 in late fees because in 1919 it was a rate of 2 cents per day, but the library eliminated all late fines in 2020, so there was no fine assessed, and the book is safely
back. They waited it out. They didn't want to pay the money. There was like,
they waited it out.
Wait, any day now.
You know, it was like the book was late, and it was overdue. Then the Great Depression hit, and they thought, well, shit, we can't afford that overdue fee. And then they forgot about it again until now.
Right, but wonder what print that was of that book. It's probably worth far more than the fine was.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's going to be a story next week for Weird Weekly News that a Colorado library gets a $1.5 million edition. We're going to find out. It's worth a lot of money. They didn't want to put up a stink about the late fees. They wanted a quick transaction.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Could you imagine like returning a book, be like, it's 100 years late, but here it is.
Yeah, why would you do that anyways? Just put it on the bookshelf.
Or assess the... They're no,
okay, right, you're
they
right.
They did the honest thing. They did the honest thing.
Well,
you know, mom was a thief. She probably had a whole cellar room that was like full of stuff she's been accumulating over the years, mostly library books.
Mostly library books. I'm sure they found the book and they thought it would be funny if we take this back to the library. You know, I'm sure that's what their thinking was.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if they would have hit them with a late fee. That actually would have been kind of funny.
I was thinking you were going to say way more than $760. I
was surprised by that too.
Well, if that's only 2 cents per day, but they didn't figure in inflation and rate changes. Probably would have been much more.
But was it grandfathered in at 2 cents per day?
Maybe. Like, you call the library in Colorado.
Let's ask him. I'm going there in October. I'll go knock on their door.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go.
Why would you knock on a door? It's a public building.
I was, you know, just trying to be a little cheeky. I'm practicing for our European adventure next year.
Is that how they do it in Europe? You have to knock on the library door?
No, be cheeky. I'm just trying to practice my cheekiness. I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We have time for one more, but I must say that I was like yesterday doing some hardcore planning for our trip to Ireland, and I'm so stoked. There's just so much stuff. So I can't wait to have our next meeting so that we can, I can share some things that I found with you, and I can't wait to hear what you guys found. So, all right, let's see who goes next. And is it going to be?
Well, it has to be Rich.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Oh, that was a close one.
I cannot believe you got out of not doing a news article this whole episode. This was like your amnesty episode. How does
that happen? Things must be starting to swing back my way.
Mercury, it's out of the oven.
So my weird news article is about the cicadas, and I have been hearing from different people, oh, the cicadas are coming, the cicadas are coming. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, they're here all the time. You know, they're always here. But I was reading a news article, and this year we are looking at having trillions of cicadas to emerge across the U.S. And there's a really creepy picture of a cicada that I'll share with you. Ultimately, we've got the annual cicadas. Those come back every year. And then there is a different type of cicada that comes around every 13 years. And then there's a third type of cicada that comes out every 17 years. And to have all of them surface at the same time has not happened since 1803. When Thomas Jefferson was president. So apparently in reading the article, it sounds as if the locusts can reach a volume of about 110 decibels. And it is something of a very exciting thing for some of these scientists and other experts that are looking at this. There's a Georgia Tech biophysicist who's talked about having, and I'll quote the quote that this person has, we've got trillions of these amazing living organisms come out of the earth, climb up on trees, and it's just a unique experience, a sight to behold. It's like an entire alien species living underneath our feet, and then some prime number years they come out to say hello. So there's some really optimistic type
hard pass.
I'm thinking I need to hide under a rock. There is one little tidbit of good information. It does say that for 2024, sun cicadas will emerge from Maryland to Oklahoma, Illinois to Albany. I'm sorry, not Albany, Alabama. Clearly, trillions of adult cicadas will be present, but not all in the same place at the same time. But I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and show you the picture of the cicada. What's that, Rob?
Did it say what the decibel would be from the cicadas?
110 decibels.
Same as the locusts?
Yeah, they're often mistaken for locusts. Very, very close. Yep. So I'm going to share my screen.
Yeah, do that. And I'll tell you something about the decibel really quick.
Okay.
While you share your screen, I am a certified hearing conservationist, and I do hearing tests on people. And so when we're talking like industrial, like in the factories and stuff. So like when it gets to like 85 decibels, it is like that's. An exposure at 85 decibels for longer than a few hours is like can start damaging your ears. And so at 85 decibels is like, that's like the threshold. Like you should be wearing hearing protection even before that. A normal conversation is about like 35 to 40 decibels. So that is like super loud.
I am not looking. I mean, I every year I hear cicadas, and I remember one time when I was not too long ago, you know, within the last 20 years, I guess you could say, I've heard, you know, oh, the cicadas are coming. But apparently there are multiple types of cicadas coming at the same time this year, or about the same time. This one is the cicada that comes every 13 years, and it's a cousin of the annual cicadas that we're used to seeing and hearing, but the difference is their red bulging eyes. And another interesting fact that I learned was that a lot of these cicadas will like bury themselves around aged trees, like very mature trees, and then feed off of the roots until they can surface. So it's creepy. They refer to them as an alien species. I thought it was pretty cool for a weird weekly news.
What? Yeah, it is. What makes the sound though? Is it like, are
That's
they?
A question.
Are they making the sound? Is it like their wings? Is it their?
I thought it was their wings.
Their wings.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it was their wings, but it is
loud. They don't have voice boxes.
Well, do you know this? Do you know the anatomy of a cicada?
Actually, it just so happens right behind me. I have the anatomy. I don't.
It's a poster on your wall. I wouldn't be surprised.
The cicadas hit, we have to think about Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, U.S. president. 1803 was the last time we've had this many cicadas. And one of the cicada experts, quote unquote, University of Connecticut, his name is John Cooley, called the upcoming dual invasion Cicada-geddon.
Of course they did.
That sounds like the name Brian would have made up.
Right. He is an expert. So that's what he said.
It's going to be a sci-fi television movie shortly.
Yeah.
Between the cicadas and all the eclipse bullshit, it's been too much. Everybody is losing their mind about, like,
yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out why the eclipse was a big deal.
Like the end of times, they said, like, they were calling it the end of times and that people were going to get, you know, raised up to, it was kind of like that whole thing when,
verse that was 4-8 for something, and it happened on 4-8, and something else happened on 4-8. So it was, I don't know.
Spoiler alert, CERN is still has the scientist running the experiment that we talked about with the Large Hadron Collider. So no timeline shifts. So, you know, that apparently has dropped off everybody's radar. They move on to the next best thing for conspiracies. So,
yep.
I can't wait to do an episode on just conspiracies. Like
there's numerous ones out there.
That'll be too long of an episode. We'll lose our viewers.
No, we'll just pick one conspiracy at a time.
Because none of our episodes are about conspiracies.
Spoiler alert, moon landing is coming up, folks.
I know, I'm so excited for that one. I'm really excited. Well, guys, thanks for doing such hard work, finding some really great news articles. And to all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. And check us out every other Monday for a full episode. And every other Wednesday for Weird Weekly News. We changed our scheduling a bit since we have formed our investigation team, and we're leaving room for us to be able to do investigations and get some other episodes out on that. So having said that, I just want to plug that we are helping organize a Paracon, a local Paracon in our region here in Racine, Wisconsin. So it'll be on the border of Racine and Kenosha. We'll announce details as it comes, but it is the 10th anniversary of two local paranormal teams, and they wanted to put this on, and it was an honor to be able to join that plan. So we're going to be helping them get this together and run the Paracon. So we're super excited about it, and we'll give you more details as it goes. So until then, stay weird, everyone. Ciao.